Good morning, everybody. I love this Sunday. I love to hear what God has done in the young people and in the workers that went to camp this last week. I've heard some great things, and we are going to have them share those things. But I also have something that I have been waiting to do a long time. I would like my grandson to come up and bring his parents. He wouldn't let me hold him. He's been a little fussy. Just woke up. And I think he's trying to do what babies do. But this is little Luca. And I don't know about you, when COVID hit and everyone had to stay home, I caught up on some movies that I had never seen, and one of them, I watched Schindler's List. I'd never seen that. If you've never seen it, you need to watch it. And I watched The Godfather, the original Godfather, and I had already heard that they were going to name him Luca, and so I'm watching, and one of the henchmen for The Godfather, his name was Luca. Luca Brasi. So I'd like to introduce you to little Luca Brasi. He's going to grow up and protect his grandpa. But this is a special day. Little Luca is finally here, and it is so weird seeing your baby have a baby. It's very strange. But I wanted to bring them up and dedicate him to the Lord. If you're familiar with, I'm a huge fan of the Old Testament. I love the story of Hannah when she was without child, and she prayed, and God gave her a son. And she said, if you will give me a son, then I will dedicate him to you, and he will serve you his entire life. And then there's another portion of scripture that I want to read today, and it is from Numbers chapter 6. And it is a blessing that God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, who were the Levites, they were the priests. And he says, I want you to pronounce this blessing over Israel. And he says, tell Aaron and his sons how they are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, may Jehovah bless you and protect you. May Jehovah make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Jehovah look with favor on you and give you peace. And in this way, they will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them. And there's another version that says, in this way, they will put my name on. It wasn't just a declaration of words going out. It was actually putting his name, his Jehovah, putting his name on the people. And he says, and I will bless them. And I believe that the Old Testament, you can say, well, Jim, you're not an Israelite, you're not a Jew. And I says, well, when I accepted the blood of Christ, I became grafted and adopted into God's family, and my Savior is Jewish. So I do have a connection with the blessings in the Old Testament. Now, some of them were directly for those people at a certain time, but I believe that there are other blessings that we can grab hold of and hold on to. So I am going to pray this. If I can get through this, I am going to pray this over little Luca. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it.
We all did.
Ah, man. So yeah, no surprise to you, right? All right, let's try this. Maybe if I don't look at him. Luca, may Jehovah bless you and protect you. I'll bet you Aaron and his sons didn't do this when they proclaimed this over the Israelites. May Jehovah make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May Jehovah look with favor on you and protect you and give you peace. Heavenly Father, we just lift up this family to you. We dedicate them into your hands, Lord. We dedicate Luca into your hands. We pray that you would take him and use him according to your purposes and according to your plans. Lord, let him follow you and your ways all the days of his life, that he would be a blessing to his parents and a blessing to you. I pray this in your name. Amen. I did it. All right, I want him. Okay. Oh, shoot, you hush. You hush. All right, I'm done. Aaron, it's all you.
Amen. Okay, so we are going to get rolling right away here. As most of you know, last weekend we had the opportunity of going to a youth camp. Woo! Yes. Yes, and I got to say, this was my 8th youth camp as a leader, and I think this year might just have been my favorite. There's a few that are up there, but this year stands out to me almost more than any other for a couple reasons. One is that we didn't know it was even going to happen. You know, as I'm sure all of you know, there's this thing called COVID going around. And when it hit in March, you know, I was in contact with the camp we usually go to, and they were telling me, no, we're going to be open, we're going to be open, we're going to be open, don't worry about it, we're going to be open. And then in late May, early June, they call me and say, hey, we're not going to be open. So that left us 2 months to kind of scramble, and we were deciding, okay, what are we going to do? Are we even going to have camp this year? Is it better if we just cancel? And then, by the grace of God, we got in contact with Ross Point, and they said, no, we will be open, I promise you, and we can book you for a weekend. So that is a testament to God who made it happen. He made a way. And even though it was shorter, even though we were there for one less day, you know, God still showed up, and it was an amazing weekend. And I think I saw God touch the lives of every student that is here. We had 26 students come, which is incredible. Yeah, it is incredible. And God showed up and touched all of them, I believe. This year was also special because, you know, normally we come up with a theme as leaders and we kind of reveal it in this big reveal. But this year, we kind of threw it out to the students. We gave them a few verses and we said, you know, whichever of you can design a t-shirt, and if we pick it, we like it as the best one that we thought as leaders that went with what we wanted to accomplish, then that would be our theme this year. So we gave out about 10 verses, and then we got a bunch of submissions. They were all really great. But this is the year, this is the one that won this year. And if you can't see, it says unity in big letters. It's two hands grabbing a hold of each other. And the verse is Psalm 133:1 that says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. And then all around the circle, it has unity in different languages. So it's just amazing. And our youther, a youther designed this. So that's amazing. And that youther was Lauren. Come on, Lauren, yeah. So that was awesome. And this year, we did something that we haven't done before. We had two student speakers at camp, our two seniors. So they got to share the word with their peers, which was really great. So it was just an amazing year. I'm going to stop talking, and we're going to watch a video. It kind of, you know, it'll go into more of what we did, and then we'll come back and talk again. Okay. Just a small glimpse of what we did at camp, and I just want to apologize about the sound. There's nothing we could do about that. We tested it before service, worked perfect, played the same video on the same setup Wednesday night. It's just one of those things. It kind of reminds me of our first night at camp this year where, you know, I talked to the camp. They say, yeah, we've got a projection system, speakers, you'll be fine. And then on our first night, we go to play worship, After playing it before service, mind you, it was working fine, and then it was just so quiet. It was like we were singing a cappella. So that's just that just reminded me of that. But that's just a small glimpse of what we do at camp. And there's so much more that we wish we could show you, but for lack of time, we can't. But this year was so great. It was so great. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up the mic to any youthers that would like to share what the Lord did in your life at camp. So who's going to be the first? Who's going to be the first to step out in boldness and come up here? It's okay. You know, as I tell you guys often on Wednesday nights, as a youth pastor, you get very good at things. And one thing you get really good at is sitting here in awkward silence. So I will wait. It just takes one, you know, someone's got to step out. Here we go. Madison, okay.
I had so much fun at camp this year. We had shaving cream fights and the murder mystery, and we played so many fun games. And what I really enjoyed was getting to know everybody a lot better. And I felt like as I grew closer and closer to God during camp, I grew closer and closer to everybody else.
Amen. Thank you, Maddie. Okay, who's next? Come on, some of you shared that you wanted to share, shared with me that you were going to share today. So, okay, here we go. Lindsay. Okay, she forgot her paper, so. Okay, here we go.
When I arrived at Ross Point, I was unsure of who God was, and I felt blind and in the dark, and I was unsure of who I was and what my role in life was. But after having services and connecting with others at Ross Point, I figured out that I know who God is now, and I know what my role in life is, and that is to be a disciple of God and be united with others, children of God.
Thank you, Lindsay. Amen. That's what it's all about right there. A student coming to camp unsure of who they are, unsure of who God is, and leaving knowing both who they are and who God is. So thank you for sharing. Who else? Like I said before, I can sit here all day. Lauren, here we go.
I went into camp with a reluctant heart, feeling anxious about what God had in store for me this year. Through this time that we've all been going through, I've separated myself from people and God. I was scared that the walls I built were too big to break down. This year, God used me in ways I least expected, and I felt restored and inspired. For example, in the past, I've always been one of the younger girls in my cabin, but this year I was the oldest, which gave me a new perspective. Because of this, I was able to use my life experience and camp experience to connect with the girls on a different level. Each speaker slowly chipped away at the wall I had built up, and each message became a piece of a puzzle that was a complete picture at the end of camp. God showed me ways I can use my leadership to help others, and in the quiet moments, I found the joys in things I thought I'd lost.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Kenzie, here we go.
Okay, sorry, I'm nervous. Okay, before going to this camp, I was really just full of doubt, and I knew God was real, but I never really felt him work through me. And that gave me more doubt because I was worried that I wasn't a good enough Christian. I wasn't doing my best. And, okay, the last worship we did, I had all these doubts running through my head that I wasn't doing good enough. I need to try harder. And I was asking God to give me a sign and to tell me if I was good enough and doing my job. And I turn around, and Larry taps me on the shoulder, and he said he just wanted to give me a hug. And he told me that in God's eyes, I was perfect. And it was crazy. So by this time, I'm sobbing in his chest, like I was crying so hard. And he told me that God has a plan for me, and that I'm doing good. So, and it's just a thank you to Larry.
Amen. 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 I'll say from my own experience that one of the most amazing things as a youth leader is to watch students grow, like from sixth graders. And then by the time they hit high school, now I'm just going to be honest, sixth graders, they struggle sometimes to understand why we do what we do, but we do it anyways. And then by the time they reach high school, when it clicks with them, to see it click is such an amazing thing as a youth leader. And I'll share that this year, oh my gosh, whew, I saw a couple young men who we have had since they were sixth graders. I saw them during worship for the first time since I've known them raise their hands. And I'm not saying that means, you know, it does mean something. I'm not saying, you know, I know that, you know, worship is about the heart, but I could just tell by looking at him that he got it, that he was feeling God's presence, that it was real for him and at that time. And it was just so amazing to see that, see him come from a sixth grader to where it finally made sense. And it's just the fruit, it's just seeing the fruit of our labor, really. And another thing that is so amazing to me is seeing the leaders. You know, I love praying with the students, but I love to see when the students build connections with leaders. We're often asked, why do you have so many leaders? You only have like 25 students. Why do you have 8 leaders? That's like a 3-to-1 ratio, right? But it's like because these students build different relationships with different leaders. And I love seeing that fostered and grown at camp. And I love seeing when these students feel comfortable enough with one of our leaders to go to them in prayer. And God, he does tear down walls and he does speak things into our life, speak things into us to share with the students. So that's some things that I noticed this year that was really amazing. Anyone else want to share? You got a notebook out. Are you going to do it? Come on, come on.
Oh, okay. So, on the last night of camp, Aaron spoke, and he said something in his message that has stuck with me. He talked about how the enemy seeks to devour the good things in our life and how he chases after us and tries to steal that joy. And he said, the enemy tries to steal the joy we're about to have in our future, or something like that. I don't know if it's word for word, but going into this camp, it was easy for me to have at least a little bit of a negative mindset because I thought everything was going to be different and the environment was going to change because we didn't know. And wow, was I wrong. I did definitely get that feeling, and this youth group is awesome. And yeah, if you're going through something like I was a little bit, I definitely had a few hard moments, and it's crazy how many of these people will be there for you with prayer, encouragement, or even just a hug. It's just crazy, and I think the Lord knew exactly that's what I needed, and yeah.
Thank you, Haley. Okay, last call. Emily, okay, here we go.
I really enjoyed the time at camp this year to get to know new people and to be able to step out of my comfort zone a little bit and to just have some time undistracted to focus on God.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you. Okay, last call. Here we go. There's always one.
Okay, so this youth in our small groups, we were talking about how, like, there's, like, people born in the church, and you know how, like, there's the people who knew people who come in, and they get that, like, aha moment at camp where they, like, see God, or, like, they just, like, feel God is there. And we were talking about how in our groups, like, it's like, I was born in the church, and I was raised in the church, and it's like, you already know that, like, kind of know that God's there, and so you don't really get that aha moment where you just, like, see it for the first time. And we were just talking about how, like, there's, like, the different perspectives between, like, the ones in the church and the ones that are new to church, and how, like, as being in the church, it doesn't mean that you can't have that moment where you just, like, are, like, finally, like, see, like, God working in you and in other people, and how you can help the newer Christians and the newer people that are in youth or in the church, and how, like, it showed me that youth, like, a new perspective on, like, the way we can help lead and help disciple as the younger generation. But,
yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Harley. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay. What we're going to do is we'll have all the leaders that spoke come up, and you two. You're not getting out of this. So if you spoke a message, please come on up. Yeah, Josiah, you can come too, I guess. Okay, or not. Okay, so, yep, this is all of our speakers. We had about, how many of us are there? Are we missing one? Me? Yeah, okay, I guess I count. So, yes, even though we were one less day than we usually go to camp, we still had about the same amount of messages, which was awesome. So we usually do a morning and a night, but this year we threw in a morning, an afternoon, and a night message. So this is our crew here, and the amazing thing is we don't plan our messages together. You know, I don't go up to Maddie and say, you're going to speak on this, you're going to speak on this. It just comes together by the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to do is have each of you just give a brief outline of what your message was about, and then we'll go from there, okay?
I spoke about the lies that society and the world tells us compared to the truth from God's word.
I spoke about doubt and questions and trust and how God wants us to come to him even in our doubt and our questions and choose to trust him.
My message was quite lengthy, actually, compared to everyone else's, but it was titled, several mindful things about Jesus' prayer, and covering the four mentions of unity, and then his prayer over the disciples, over the church in the future, and as disciples that we need to go out, and as Jesus mentioned, unveiling our faces for the world to see Christ through us.
This is kind of nerve-wracking. Okay. I talked about being a part of God's family with God as our Father and Jesus referring to followers as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I found this definition of family, and it's a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. And I thought that was pretty awesome to see that as like a earthly family definition, but for God's family, a group of individuals is like us followers. One roof is our religion, Christianity, and one head is God. And then I went into three subtopics about adoption into God's family, siblings with our followers, and unity in God's family. And then I tied it all together with the parable of the prodigal son.
All right. And then my message title was What's in a Name? And I know for myself at least, and I'm sure it's true for a lot of other people, but it's hard for us to trust God and believe he has a good plan and walk in faith in what he's calling us to do when we're not remembering who we are as his child of God, as his daughter, as his son. And so that's what my message was about, is to recall all of us to remember who we are and whose we are. And I thought it was cool because this morning when Jim was saying Jehovah, it's putting his name on us. And so that's what my message was. It's reminding us of our identity in Christ. And yeah, my mind is blank right now, so I think that's all I need to say.
And then my message, I'll try to be brief. I told you guys to be brief. I'll see if I can do it. So when I was praying for what my message, what I should speak on camp, God dropped something into my heart and into my mind. It was a video clip from the show Band of Brothers, which if you don't know, it's a docu-series about a company in the 101st Airborne during World War II, and it kind of chronicles their movements in during the war. But the clip that he dropped in my mind, and it is from one of the first episodes, and It's a private, and he's talking to a lieutenant, and he tells the lieutenant, you know, when I landed on D-Day, I found myself in a ditch. I didn't try to find my unit. I didn't try to fight. I just laid there. And the lieutenant asks him, do you know why you did that? And he says, because I was scared. And the lieutenant tells him, well, we're all scared. The reason you did that is because you still have hope. You still have hope that you're going to make it out of this thing alive. But the sooner that you accept the fact that you're already dead, the sooner that you can behave and act as a soldier should act. And I'm looking at your faces. You're giving me the same looks that some of the youthers did. You're like, what does that have to do with God and Christianity? And what I would say is that as the more I thought about this clip, and I tried to work it into other messages, I'll just be honest with you. But about an hour before I was supposed to speak, I'm sitting on my bunk in my cabin, and I'm looking at all these words I have, all the stuff I have prepared, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit say to me, that's not the message I gave you. I led you to that clip for a reason. So you may be wondering, like, what does this have to do with Christianity? And I would say that the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that clip and our walk with Christ are pretty parallel. And so I started by saying the first thing that we need to realize is, one, that we are in a battle. That we are in a battle for our souls. It is not a battle against nation and nation, against people and people. It is a battle for our souls. It is a battle between the devil and God, between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And as Haley alluded to, I talked about how the devil, he prowls around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And I was just honest with the students. And I told them, you know, my biggest fear as your youth pastor is that some of you sitting in here are going to be devoured. That some of you in here are going to be devoured by the evil one. And then I talked about how a lot of us are scared, like the private in the video, that we're scared that if we commit all into this, that if we give our whole life to Jesus, that it won't be worth it. We're scared to go all in. And I said, the reason that we're scared is because we hold on to hope. Hope that we can save our life, which is the wrong hope. Because we need to put our hope in Jesus. And then I said we need to accept the fact that we are already dead. And I know that's gruesome, and that's like, whoa, that's heavy. But I read the verse in Luke 9:24, and I'll just encourage all of us here, as I encourage the youth, let's take it as Jesus, let's take Jesus' words at his word. And he says in Luke 9:24 that if anyone were to come after me, some people's kids, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. And he says that if you wish to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will save it, right? So in Jesus' time, he says, pick up your cross daily. That's a death sentence. The cross was a death sentence. Okay, I equated it to, it'd be like if I said to you, hey, you need to pick up your electric chair and follow me. That's what the cross was. It was capital punishment. Then one thing I noticed about that verse that I never noticed before is that when it says, if you wish to save your life, you will lose it, but if you lose it for my sake, you will find it. There's a line there, but on both sides of that line, a death occurs. Either you're going to try to save your life and you will lose your life, or you will willingly give up your life for Jesus, and then you will be made alive in Christ. So you're either dead to your sins, or you're dead to yourself, but you are alive in Christ. So that was my message. It was heavy, but I just had to say what God had put on my heart. I just had to say what God told me to say. So, and that's our messages in a nutshell. If you want to see the clip, just ask me and I'll send you a link to it. So it might make a little more sense once you see it. But anyways, we're going to move on from that heavy note. And what we're going to do, we got a few minutes. We're going to have Emily and Maddie stay up here. And I'm going to have all the leaders come up, all the youth leaders. So Emily and Maddie are our seniors this year. So they will be moving on from youth group in the next couple weeks. And then they will be moving into other roles in the church, is our prayer, into other groups. So what we'd like to do now is pray for them. We do have stuff coming for you. We ordered some Bibles and journals for you. They'll be here on Tuesday. So the mail. What are you going to do? So what we're going to do is we're going to pray over them and send them on their way. And then, Larry, I'm going to have you do the honors to pray over them. Put you on the spot here. Oh, actually, hold on, sorry. My brain's going a million miles an hour. Okay. What we're going to do first is have them share. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot now. We're going to have them share where they graduated from and what's next for them real quick.
I graduated from Spokane Valley Tech, and I also got my associate's degree from SCC. I am planning on doing a medical assistant apprenticeship.
I also graduated from Spokane Valley Tech, and I had done Running Start at Eastern, so I'm going to stay at Eastern for occupational therapy.
Okay, now I will hand the mic over to Larry.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by these two young women. Father, we pray that your anointing be upon them always. Lord, that you would encourage them in the times of doubt, because they will come. Father, we pray that you would guide them in their pursuit and vocation, Father, that you would bless those endeavors. Lord, that you would be around them, that you would build a hedge of protection. Lord, that they would also be encouraged to know that they have a family here at New Hope that they can always turn to. Father, we just praise you. I have to say that I personally am glad to have met them, Lord, and to engage them over the weekend and in youth group. I am saddened that they are only with us for a short while longer. Father, I pray that you would direct them in their pursuit of their ministry. Lord, I pray that they come back to youth as leaders, Lord, and I gladly would step aside for these two young women, for they are wonderful speakers. You've touched their hearts. You've given them an intellect for you, Lord. You've given them an understanding, a wisdom and discernment beyond their years. Father, we pray you continue to grow that in them, and we know that they will be mighty in the kingdom of God, and we pray a blessing of all blessings upon them, Lord. Your hand be upon them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so we are going to have the music ministry team come up. I just hope that as a church body that you see the fruits of what you put into camp and why it is important. You know, we were so blessed this year. Because of COVID, both of our fundraisers got canceled. So we had no fundraisers this year, but you guys stepped up, you donated, and you made it possible for this to happen. So I hope you see the fruits of what you plant in these young people. And I look forward to next year. As I say every year to you guys, this fire that you feel, you know, this feeling in your soul that you want to be close to God, don't let that dwindle out, okay? Don't wait until next camp to meet God again. Meet with him at each and every day. And he does have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of you. He has people in your lives that he wants to reach because of you. you know, Larry and I, the other leaders and I, you guys go places that we can't go. You know, I can't really go into your schools and start preaching the gospel in the halls. If I do, I'm probably going to get arrested, okay? Let's just be real. But you guys can, and God has people that he wants you to reach. He has a purpose and a plan for you. So stay on fire for Jesus. Kindle that fire, okay? Don't let it burn out. Don't let it burn out and say, okay, God, I felt you at camp. That was great, but I'm going to wait till next year to meet you. That's not what this is about. It's meant to be a daily, everyday thing. And I would encourage you to build on this unity that we have from camp. Let's build on it, okay? Let's stay united this year. So as Haley said, that we can be there for one another, encouraging one another, building each other up, carrying each other's burdens, and praying for one another, okay? It's an honor for all of us leaders to serve you guys, and we look forward to continuing to do that. So if all of you would please stand, and we will worship our Lord together. Amen.
It's the gospel. And in a time that we live in this culture, in this day and age, Lord knows the love of Jesus needs to be more and more prevalent in these dark days. And who's going to deliver it but his kids? Us. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we were able to have this camp because I know how important it is. It's essential. It is essential to raise up young people in the Lord. It is essential to gather together as a family, encouraging one another, lifting one another up so that we can get through these things. Lord, it's not often mentioned in our mainstream media, but the suicide rate of kids from 16 to 24 years has skyrocketed because they're living in a land that doesn't look like there's any hope. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be that hope. We would be that glimmer of light in the midst of this storm that we're all in. Help us, Lord, to spread your love to a world that so desperately needs it. We pray these things and we thank you for your gift, your grace, your mercy, because they're new every morning, and Lord knows I need it. So thank you, Heavenly Father. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.